Couple scripture readings this morning. Our first one is from the Psalm 105, reading verses 1 to 11. It'll be on the screen, or if you want to follow along. So starting at verse 1 of Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell all of His wonderful works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wonderful works He has done, His miracles, and the judgment He has uttered. O offspring of His servant Abraham, children of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He is mindful of His covenant forever and of the word that He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that He made with Abraham and His sworn promise to Isaac, which is confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. Our next reading this morning comes from the prophet Jeremiah, from his book, chapter 32, reading the first 15 verses. So I got 32, verse 1. Scripture says that the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of King Zedekiah of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. And at that time, the army of the king of Babylon was besieging Jerusalem. And the prophet Jeremiah was confined in the court of the guard that was in the palace of the king of Judah, where King Zedekiah of Judah had confined him. But Zedekiah had said, why do you prophesy and say, thus says the Lord, I am going to give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. King Zedekiah of Judah shall not escape out of the hands of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be given into the hands of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him face to face, and see him eye to eye. And he shall take Zedekiah to Babylon, and there he shall remain until I attend him, says the Lord. Though you fight against the Chaldeans, you shall not succeed. Well, Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me, and Hanamel, son of your uncle Shallum, is going to come to you and say, buy my field that is at Anathath for the right of redemption by purchase is yours. Then my cousin Hanamel came to me in the court of the guard, and this was in accordance with the word of the Lord, and said to me, buy my field that is at Anathath in the land of Benjamin, for the right of possession and redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field at Anathath from my cousin Hanamel and weighed out the money to him, 17 shekels of silver. I signed the deed, sealed it, and got witnesses and weighed the money on the scales. And then I took the sealed deed of purchase containing the terms and conditions and the open copy, and I gave the deed of purchase to Baruch, son of Nera, son of Messiah, in the presence of my cousin Hanamel, in the presence of witnesses who signed the deed of purchase, and in the presence of all of the Judeans who were sitting in the court of the guard. In their presence, I charged Baruch, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this seal deed and the purchase of this open deed, and put them in an earthenware jar, in order that you may last for a long time. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and vineyards shall again be bought in this land." Thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word. Now, the internet is a wonderful place to find some great stuff. It's also a barren wasteland of trash and junk. In preparing for this morning's sermon, I was led in one of my resources to a site called despair.com. Now, despair.com is a website devoted to shooting down the eternal optimist, to trying to deflate the hope of the hopeful. And they sell posters and mugs and t-shirts and hats with any number of disparaging sayings. Every cloud has a silver lining. And hundreds of people are struck by lightning searching for it each year. It's pretty brutal. If at first you don't succeed, failure might be your style. These are very, very cutting words, and I think it's important to think positively. It's important to have balance. But I think it's one of those things when we promote despair that can do some of the most detriment to the work of the kingdom of God. Now yet, as I searched despair.com, I kind of got thinking a little bit about the prophet Jeremiah. And I think that if he were alive today, I bet that would be a great resource for him. Jeremiah was a doom and gloom prophet. And I think if Jeremiah were among us, he probably on his desk would have a coffee mug with the slogan of despair.com that says, "It is darkest just before it gets pitch black." Now, all throughout the book of Jeremiah, the prophet was giving the word of the Lord to the people around him, to the people of Israel, and to the king. First telling them that they really needed to straighten up and fly right, and then eventually it turned into doom and gloom. And essentially he told the people of Israel and Judah, you folks just give up. Give up what you're doing and let the Babylonians come and take you over. For this is what God wants for you. And he would sit at the temple gate and he would preach as people entered the temple. There's a lot of focus on circumcision in those days and what it meant. And I can just imagine Jeremiah telling the people, you know what, folks, think above your navels for a moment, and think about what's going on in your minds. Think about the way that you are carrying on, the way that you are living out God's covenant with you. That's not the way to do it. Get your priorities straight. Jeremiah even went to King Zedekiah and told him that he should prepare himself to take a lowly seat in the kingdom of Babylon. What an insult to give to a monarch. and it was for all of this preaching of doom and gloom and sharing God's message with people that Jeremiah was thrown into jail. The people didn't want to hear from him anymore. I'm certain that each one of us has had the experience of being around people who are negative. There's some people that just drag you down all the time. They kind of weigh you down. And sometimes it's best just to cut ties with them or to figure out strategies of not letting their negativity get to you. And although Jeremiah was doing the Lord's work and sharing the messages that God had told him to share, people didn't want to hear it. They threw him in jail to shut him up. The king didn't want to hear him anymore. His own family disowned him. Now, the first five verses of the chapter from Jeremiah 32 we read are kind of a paraphrase of some of the things that Jeremiah was preaching about. Not really rosy, happy, God is joyful, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's very much this kingdom is coming to an end, and King Nebuchadnezzar is going to rule the city of Jerusalem. So that gives us a bit of a flavor of the message that Jeremiah was sharing. And so although he is locked up in prison, Jeremiah receives a visit from his cousin Hannibal, who has a piece of property to sell him. Now keep in mind at this time that Jerusalem has been under siege for 3 or 4 years now. The Babylonians are coming, and it's really just a matter of time before they occupy Israel and take people back to Babylon to be their slaves. And so Jeremiah is confronted with this real estate deal for this field in the territory of Benjamin that belongs to Jeremiah's uncle. And Jeremiah's uncle is trying to get rid of this property. His land had already been occupied by the Babylonians. And here he is stuck with this field. And so Jeremiah is really put to the test here. And his cousin Hannibal says, "Hey, buddy, have I got a deal for you? There is this lot of land, you know, that my dad has, and he's trying to get rid of it. I mean, you know, you keep saying that the Babylonians are coming and, you know, just to give up. So we're giving up, and you as a relative, you know, no one else in the family wants this property because it's going to be taken over. But if you want us to give up, you know, we're trying to get rid of this land, so we are going to sell it to you." That's kind of a raw deal. That would be similar to trying to buy a house in London during World War II. Really would not be a wise investment. You're going to lose on the deal. But Jeremiah is bound by his words. And so he pays out the 17 shekels of silver, which was a good price. Potentially, that may have been all the money that he had left. We don't know. And pays it out, and the scripture goes into quite an amount of detail about the deeds and putting it in an earthenware jar, and that there were witnesses. I'm sure if any of you have purchased a house, you know all of the paperwork that goes into that. So this was sort of the ancient Israel's equivalent of all of the red tape that goes into a major purchase like that. And so Jeremiah goes through the process, but does so in the presence of people of Judea, the people of Israel, because he wants them to see what he is doing, that he is literally putting his money where his mouth is and saying that, all right, folks, it's time to give up. You want to sell me your land? I'll take it, I guess. What have I got to lose? But the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and said, you know, Jeremiah, times are tough, but if you buy this lot of land, I assure you that houses will be built and bought and sold in Israel again, and so will vineyards, and the land will become prosperous again in time, in the future. And so by paying for this field, and a very, it would seem from a worldly point of view, a very poor investment choice, Jeremiah was investing in God's future, doing his part to show that he believed in what he was saying and what the Lord was communicating to Jeremiah. So Jeremiah buys this lot of hope in a most desperate time. Now today, I think, as the church in general, I think we may feel a little bit of despair. There's been a lot of changes in this country in the last 40 or 50 years. The church has shifted, and its role in our society has changed. We are faced with all kinds of new challenges, which we, some of you probably have never thought you would face in your lifetime in the church. We hear of churches closing. We hear of churches reducing to half-time ministry, to part-time ministry. Churches just wanting to keep the doors open. And when we get into that sort of thinking, that our job as the church is we just got to keep it running, we just got to keep it going. That's sort of acting out of despair, thinking that this is all we've ever known and we have to do it this way because that's the way we've always done it. And that phrase is one that can really squelch the growth of a church. That's the way we've always done it. And as I read this text this morning, I think our challenge is to find a field to buy, so to speak. What kind of an investment is God asking us to make today? It could be a monetary investment. It could also be an investment of our time. It could be an investment of our energy. It could be an investment of any kind of a gift that we have. Maybe we have gifts for teaching. Maybe we have gifts for providing leadership or for providing care, gifts for reaching out to our neighbors, to those who don't know the love of Jesus, or maybe those who have forgotten about the love of Jesus. And so our challenge today is to listen to what the Spirit is saying to us and do our best to figure out what God's future is for us. For currently, things might seem a little bit bleak in our world. We're trying to find our way as a Christian community today. Our voice is just one of many, and sometimes our voice is not one that people want to listen to. But we need to use our faith to listen to what the Spirit says. We need to find of investing our own hope in the power of the cross and although the storm may rage on around us, we know that that's not the end of the story. When Terry Fox did his run across Canada, it was entitled The Marathon of Hope, trying to raise awareness of and raise money to fight cancer. And sadly, we know that Terry Fox did not complete his journey as he had intended. And so that may seem somewhat disparaging, and cancer is a very disparaging illness. But today, people continue on that legacy of hope in communities all across this country every fall, rallying together in a means of showing support to those who struggle with that disease or those who have lost loved ones to that disease. And they strive in hope to someday find a cure. And I think we're getting there. So that, friends, is an example of a story that is not completed yet, but one that runs on a narrative of hope. Hope for a cure, hope for an end to the suffering. Now, friends, we have a greater hope that is Jesus Christ, that can transform our lives in wonderful, magical ways. Our challenge is to share that hope with others. Just as we believe in Jesus, we need to believe in others, that Jesus will work through them, that Jesus will work through us. So friends, let us go from this place looking for a lot to buy. A lot of hope, a lot that may have our dreams in it, a lot that has God's dreams in it. Because we belong to God's future. And friends, we know that God wants to prosper us, to bless his kingdom. And so we need to endure the present and find new ways of being his people, of living out our hope in Jesus Christ. Let us come together and pray. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, you inspire us to do your work, to figure out what your heart says. God, so many of us deal with despair on a daily basis. For some, maybe a struggle to get out of bed in the morning. For some of us, it may be a struggle to have a relationship with a family member or a friend, someone that we need to care about. For some of us, it's going to work in a place that seems to suck the life right out of us. For some of us, it's dealing with broken relationships. It's living with an illness. For all of those things that bring us despair, God, help us to find hope. Help us to find hope and to stick to it just like Jeremiah did. Help us to look towards the future. And although things may feel bleak now, give us the strength to persevere through this time, to journey with you, that you may shape and mold us. Help us to grow and draw closer to you and closer to your Son, Jesus Christ, and closer to one another in that perfectly divine love that Jesus shares with each one of us. Open our minds to see things in a hopeful way. And when we find hope, not to keep it to ourselves, but to find some witnesses to share that with, to provide encouragement for the journey. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.